Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, the universal blueprint for building a healthy family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and your host. And today we have a really hot topic to start off what has been a cold new year for many of our listeners. Our topic today is talking to kids about sex. We're going to offer what we like to call real-world advice on how to discuss sex, love, and relationships with children. This advice will include the who, what, when, and how of talking to kids about sex, and will answer some of the more common questions that parents have about sexuality in children. Now, before we dive into the discussion, I want to let you know how you can call in with questions during the call. You can either call in by dialing 1-347-205-9654 and pressing the 1 key on your telephone keypad to raise your hand. Again, that's 1-347-205-9654. You can also go to the Parents Tool Talk chat room during the live show, and my producer, Chris Gooley, will take your question and pass it on. Just go to www.parentstooltalk.com and click on the play/chat button just underneath today's show title and description. Again, that's parentstooltalk.com and click the play chat button. I also want to give a quick reminder to all foster parents to check in at the beginning and end of the show today if you want to qualify for continuing education credits. You can just call in or use the chat room. And for detailed instructions, just go to parentstooltalk.com/links and click on the link that says CEUs for foster parents. Again, that's www.parentstooltalk.com/links with an S on the end. Now, I don't want to waste any more time. I want to introduce my special guest today. Amy Lang has been a sexual educator for more than 20 years. During this time, she became aware that parents were not talking to their children soon enough or often enough about the birds and the bees. As a parent herself, she started Birds and Bees and Kids, LLC, to help other parents and caregivers become confident and comfortable talking about sexuality, love, and relationships with children. She's the author of the Mom's Choice Award-winning book, Birds and Bees and Your Kids, A Guide to Sharing Your Beliefs About Sexuality, Love, and Relationships. And she created the Ask Anything Journal for kids to help them get answers to their tough questions. And she'll tell us more about those as we get to talking with her. So, Amy, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Good. Well, I know we have a lot of information that we want to cover today, so let's get right to it. I know we're going to be spending a lot of time talking today about the challenges that parents face, but I'd actually like you to just start by telling our listeners why it's important to talk to kids about sex and what benefits there are of talking to kids about their sexuality openly.
Great. Well, you know, I think the first thing that we need to remember about talking to kids about sex is that as parents, we want to grow whole, fabulous human beings. And talking to kids about sex and sexuality is part of being a human being. And when kids have information about how the whole thing works, they make better decisions, we have less teen pregnancy, they feel good about their bodies, they have less incidents of dating violence and that sort of thing, because it's all kind of tied together. And at its core, these conversations and this topic is really about communication.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that to hear you do my intro, and there's this new study out by Harvard that shows that parents are not talking to their kids soon enough. In fact, they're talking to adolescents after they've already had sex. And it's not that it's too late per se, but it's way better to start much, much earlier.
So then when would you recommend parents do start these conversations?
So it's interesting. You know, I'm a parent myself. My son is 9. And when I started my business, I didn't really know what we needed to know. Like, I didn't know the answer to that question. I had some ideas. But what I learned is that what's best for kids is if you start really early, and you might be shocked by this, and I was kind of surprised myself, but when you think about it, it makes sense. So what's recommended is that kids learn about how babies are made, and I'm talking the basic stuff, like how the baby gets in there, how the baby gets out of there, that this isn't for adults, that, it's not for kids, that sort of thing, very basic details of intercourse, by about kindergarten.
Wow.
And the reason it's kindergarten is because, and really under the age of 7, is because if you think about what happens, well, everybody can think about their own experience, right? So if your parents told you about sex when you were 10, or you learned about it when you were 10, what was your reaction? Gross. Yuck.
Yeah.
Why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
Right? This is totally disgusting. I can't believe you told me this. I can't imagine that. No way, Jose. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Which on one hand is lovely, right? Because we don't want our children having sex.
Right. Right. We don't want it to be that appealing.
Right. We don't want it to be appealing. However, if this is part of who we are as human beings, and it's part of our lives, for our entire lives, it's better and healthier for our kids to have information before they get to that gross out stage. And that seems to be before 7. So when you tell a 5 or 6-year-old that penis enters the vagina, and this is what happens, and a little bit of your values about how that whole thing works, the standard reaction is, oh, huh. Occasionally, a savvy little twerp will say, did you do that?
Yes.
But mostly, it's just, oh, because they learn about this stuff, about they learn about, you know, volcanoes or ponies or making ice cream or any other thing they're interested in, because they don't have the perspective that we do about sex.
Yeah.
They don't know if they've been sexually abused, they have a different experience of that. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, they don't know. They don't know to be grossed out. They don't know to be embarrassed or ashamed. Some of that's natural. The gross out stuff is a natural reaction. But the embarrassment and shame is really something that we give our kids, unfortunately.
Okay. And I, you know, by that age, a lot of times children are asking questions. And I have a funny story in my book about a child who kept asking more and more questions, because they tell parents, just answer what they asked and don't give any more. And he took that, you know, oh, really? Did you guys do that? And then he went on to say, can I watch next time?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so,
it's funny.
Yeah. So some kids are very curious, but for those who don't ask, I think we as parents are tempted to go like, dodged a bullet again. They still haven't asked. I'm not going to bring it up. But what I'm hearing you say is it really is important to bring that up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wait for our children to, and this is a myth, actually, that lots of people hear, just wait for your child to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do with that kid that never asks?
Yeah.
It's not their responsibility. It's our responsibility to talk to our kids about sexuality, love, and relationships, the whole package, not just, you know, how babies are made, but what kind of what good, healthy relationships look like, what love means, what that's about, and to initiate these conversations. It's not our children's responsibility, and you're doing your kids a disservice if you're taking the easy route and going, whew, because ultimately it's not the easy route. It's not the easy route for your child.
Yeah, effective parenting is really the easiest way to go. The more effective things usually take some skill and some effort and some courage to step out of our comfort zone. Now, you had mentioned that we should at least talk with children about how babies are made by kindergarten, no later than by age 7. Are there other conversations or topics that we should be covering with children at different ages?
Definitely. So when we look at birth to 4 or 5, sort of that birth to preschool kind of age range, what parents should be talking to their kids about are things like the correct anatomical names for their body parts. So we have penises and scrotums. That's what we can see, right? And for girls, we have vulvas and vaginas. Vaginas, as we all know, are kind of hard to see. So the vulva means covering in Latin is the exterior of a girl's or a woman's body. And that's really the equivalent of penis. So I really strongly encourage parents to embrace the vulva. It's a word that we're not used to hearing. Some people think it's ugly. I think it's actually really pretty lovely. And so talking about that, and I don't mean that you have to use those words all the time, but just make sure they know what they are.
Right.
And
when
then,
children don't learn those correct names, they can talk in code. I was a caseworker that worked with sexually abused children, and there was a case where it took us a long time to figure out what was going on because she had these euphemisms that she used, and it wasn't until we figured out what she really meant that we realized something was happening.
Right, right. And also pedophiles, frankly, they will kind of steer clear kids who are savvy, right? Kid that says, hey, you know, my vulva's itching. They're going to be like, oh, she's using the word vulva. I'm staying away from her. Someone's been talking to her, right?
Yeah.
And then the other piece of that, of course, is body safety. And the thing, the biggest message we need to give our kids throughout their entire lives in terms of keeping them sexually safe is that they are the boss of their body. They are in charge of their body. They have the right to say no to anything that feels uncomfortable. If someone tries to touch their privates, if someone wants them to touch their privates, they're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the main preschool messages. And, you know, we could go on and on and on about that. And then when we hit that sort of kindergarten into, you know, up to probably fourth grade, fifth grade, and we definitely introduce that idea of intercourse, talk about your family values about that. Like, is this something that's for marriage? Great, then talk about it. This is part of marriage. If you don't believe that, then say something like, this is for when you're older. As kids get a little older, like by 8, 9, they should know that people have sex for pleasure, that it feels good to their grown-up bodies, that it's a really, and all the time we should be giving positive messages. This is a wonderful part of being older. This is a wonderful part of life. Your body's not ready for this. Your body will start to change, and you'll start to have feelings, and we'll talk about that. Because we want this open door. We want this normalcy. We want this calmness about, you know, hey, this is an okay thing for us to talk about. Because when we make it scary, weird, shameful, our kids are not going to talk to us. And all you have to do is you have to think about your own experience learning about sex as a kid in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll give you most likely a lot of information about what not to do.
Good. Now, at what age should children learn about puberty? Because I know children are entering puberty much earlier than in past generations.
So what's interesting about the puberty onset is this. Those early studies that they did, they were done especially with girls and first periods. They were looking at a group of white middle-class girls from the same area of the United States. Those girls had their periods at 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the full gamut of culture and society all over the world, worldwide average age of first period is more like 11.
Okay.
And so it feels like we have this early onset of periods, but it is slightly younger. Puberty is starting slightly younger. That's true, but there was some misinformation.
Okay.
So girls are starting puberty as young as 9. That seems to be related to body size and health and nutrition. We're healthy, we're fat, relatively speaking. We can go through puberty sooner.
Okay.
Boys' average age of puberty starting is 11.
Okay.
Is 11. So if you have a girl who has breast buds,
mm-hmm.
That's one of the very first signs of puberty.
Okay.
And for boys, unfortunately, the first sign of puberty is that their testicles enlarge, and it's, you know, no one's much down there anymore checking them out. So,
mm-hmm.
But if your son is like, something's going on, you know, you can just say, your penis and your testicles are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So they're aware of that. Boys get stinky. I mean, that's the thing we usually notice with them.
Okay.
So everybody gets stinky, actually.
So should we at least prepare kids and tell them what to be expecting before the earliest possible?
Absolutely.
Before 9 girls, before 11.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. And everybody needs to know what's going to happen for everybody else. So
mm-hmm.
the boys need to know what's up with the girls. The girls need to know what's up with the boys.
Okay. Okay. Now, are there any other topics? I know we'll talk a little bit about premarital sex with teens a little bit later when we're getting into some of the challenges. But in terms of what we need to say before the event happens with different ages, is there any age we've left out? Because the intercourse, what you're actually mentioning, talking about that much earlier, so that should have already been done.
Yeah, intercourse should have been covered. Yeah. Really, American Academy of Pediatrics says that everything, and I'm talking oral, anal sex, STDs, HIV, birth control, same-sex relationships, your values, intercourse, everything should be covered by puberty. They say before puberty starts. Now, I think that's mean because that's like if a girl's having her period at 9, that's a lot of information for to get into. Well, number one, you don't have a lot of time to get it into your 9-year-old, but that's a lot of information.
Right.
So I say that by middle school, kids really need to have just a basic understanding of all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you have your fourth, fifth grader, it's fine to have conversations about, you know, hey, you know, people have sex for pleasure. They don't always have a baby. That's because they usually use something called birth control.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer that you, when you become sexually active in your early 30s, that you are using birth control. I've determined that 32 is the best age to start having sex for the first time. It's just serious research I've done. It just seems like, that seems reasonable. Anyway,
right.
So before you become sexually active, you talk about that, and you talk about women take pills, men use something called a condom that fits over their penis, and you just introduce the ideas. And then that gives you a little platform to build on, right?
Yeah.
So you've got the idea, hey, remember when we were talking about birth control? I just wanted to tell you about this thing called an IUD. This is how it works.
Right.
And it goes up in the woman's, up through her cervix and into her uterus and hangs around in there and makes the uterus a bad hostess so an egg can't get implanted, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm just going to say one more thing and I'll let you go. If you hear me talking, I've had these little sound bites, right?
Right.
That
and
didn't take me 4 hours.
Language.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I appreciate that you're giving us the language and exactly what to say for each of those. And I think the other message that you're sending, and this is kind of what I wanted to ask next, is this is not just one talk that you have. I mean, we need to have multiple conversations, you know, pick up on teachable moments. So, I mean, how often should we have the conversations? You know, you've told us a little bit about which topics to cover by certain ages, but, you know, how often do we do that? Who does the talking? You know, do dads have to be the ones to talk to boys, moms to girls?
Yeah, so here's the deal. So when they're younger, you can really just kind of space these conversations out like every couple. With the body safety stuff, that needs to be pretty consistent, like every month or so. Just pop in there with a, hey, remember, no, adults don't need kid help, you know, just a little, you know, just little tips like that. Or just want to remind you that it's not okay for anyone to touch your privates, for you to touch anyone else's privates, like just little snippety things. And then with the actual sort of more sex relationship talk, you know, that really is going to start to increase when puberty is lovely, because that's when they start to get anxious and worried about it. So you're going to talk more and more about it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your kids have books that they can refer to. So when they're little, it's great because you get a book, like Roby Harris's book, It's So Amazing, is one of my absolute favorites. Great for kids age 5 and older. She's got another book called It's Not the Stork, which is great for preschool age kids. I prefer It's So Amazing because it's just comprehensive and it's just makes sense to buy one book instead of 65 books. But
how do you spell Roby?
R-O-B-I-E.
I-E, okay.
Yeah.
Harris.
It's So Amazing.
Good.
So read that book with your kids throughout, you know, until they're 8 or 9, if they'll let you read that with them. Read different sections to them before they go to bed at night, you know. And one of the things with books is that, and it's the easiest way to start the conversation, frankly, you just throw it in with a nightly reading. Hey, here's a book about how babies are made.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read it. How cool.
And leaving the book in the child's room so
absolutely.
That I know my children had books that had anatomically correct drawings.
Yep. Yeah.
So that they could, you know, so if they're embarrassed to talk openly about it, the book's there. They can go look at it, you know.
Right.
Without you knowing that they're learning.
Right. And then, so the conversations are going to get more close together as they get older. So by the time you've got a 5th or 6th grader, you should be having pretty consistent conversations. And what you're going to notice is that if you get all the sex, sort of the nuts and bolts stuff under their belts, like they understand about the puberty stuff and they've got to know about birth control and they got all that kind of going on, you've got to continue to refer back to that, but what they're really interested in is relationship.
Yeah.
Right? So what is it, how will I know I'm in love? I have a crush. He doesn't crush back on me. You know, what am I doing with this? Why is my friend acting all crazy and boy crazy and I don't care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happening? So all that relational, social, emotional stuff is where the focus of the conversation needs to be from probably middle school really on. It doesn't mean you abandon the other stuff because they have to hear this over and over again because they forget. And there are plenty of studies to show that they need the information repeatedly. And again, you know, back to this, it's your job, not their job,
right?
To ask questions. It's your job to be giving them a public service announcement in the car as you're driving down the road.
Well, and there's plenty of reminders and learning opportunities, particularly in America. I mean, there's sexual images and messages all over the place. So
oh, yeah.
Whether we're watching TV together or driving on the road and there's a billboard, you know, there's a lot of things we can just kind of make comments to ourselves, even to ourselves, like, wow, I don't feel comfortable with, or wow, when I see that, I feel, which isn't necessarily telling them they have to think or feel whatever, because sometimes that creates resistance, but of just saying, wow, this is my reaction. What do you think about that? And just like starting a conversation, there's a lot of conversation starters out there.
Right. And they're looking, you know, and if you're talking, they're listening. They even say, don't, if I'm texting someone and you're talking to me, I'm still listening to you. If I'm watching TV and you're talking to me, I'm still listening to you. Ignore me ignoring you is the message that teens actually are saying. So don't take your cues from them. You're in charge. You know what's best because, frankly, compared to them, you're the sex expert.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't want them going elsewhere for that information, particularly
right.
with the values.
Absolutely.
We want to include the values with that. So I take it from what I'm hearing you say that it doesn't have to be dad's talking to girls, mom's
mm-hmm.
talking to, or I'm sorry, the other way around.
Right, right.
It doesn't have to be. It's just being open and whoever has the moment and that, and I'm sure that's good news for single parents out there.
Definitely,
you know, particularly dads who have girls and moms who have boys, single moms
right,
who have boys.
Right, right.
Okay.
And making sure your kids have other trustworthy adults to talk to, too, because their chances are good that they're going to go to that auntie or uncle or best friend's mom or whoever before they're going to come to you as they get older. That's just
mm-hmm.
the way they kind of operate.
Okay, good. Let's take, it's about 20 after. I want to give people information again on how they can call in or ask questions because we're very willing to do that. And then we'll head into a little bit more into our second phase, which we've kind of gotten over some of the basics. And we got our Harvard study in there, so we're kind of learning what's going on with that. Next phase, we're going to talk more about challenges the parents face when talking to kids about sex and some of the uncomfortable issues we sometimes have to bring up. So let me just take a quick station ID. Let me tell folks real quick, if you joined us a few minutes after we started the show, this is Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jody Johnston Powell, author of the Parents Tool Shop. And today our topic is talking to kids about sex. And we're talking with Amy Lang. And if you have any questions during the show today, you can either call 1-347-205-9654 and then hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand, or you can send us a question using the chat room at parentstooltalk.com. You're just going to look for the chat button and click that. The number again is 1-347-205-9654. And I'm just going to take 15 seconds while people are calling in to let us know or hitting that one button to let us know they've got a question. If you would like to get access to this month's bonus resources, then sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list. That way you can receive links to all the featured resources that we're going to be mentioning today, both from Parents Tool Shop and from Amy. You can get information about upcoming shows, tips on how to download the recordings to your computer. My guess is a lot of people are going to want to share this recording. You can subscribe to an RSS feed and more. It's the only way to get exclusive information about our future radio shows and access to some of the bonus resources and discounts that we only offer to our loyal listeners. So, again, to sign up for the mailing list, just go to parentstooltalk.com/links. That's www.parentstooltalk, all one word, .com/links with an S on the end, L-I-N-K-S. And just know that we never share your private information with anyone for any reason. This is a subgroup of the Parents Tool Shop list, so you would get information about Parents Tool Shop, and the only additional thing you would get would be information about the radio show. So we do have one question from the chat room. Chris, would you like to come on and tell us what that question is?
Sure, Jody. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay, good. Glad to see that things are working technically fine today, because you and Amy are just having a fantastic conversation. We don't want anything messing it up.
Yes,
it looks like we do have a question, and I'm going to go ahead and run off the last four numbers of your phone number. There's one caller, so the last four numbers are 4417. You're on the air. What's your question?
Oh, hi. Hi, my name is Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Good to hear from
you. Great. Yeah. I have a question. My daughter is 9. She's actually quite mature, and we have been quite open in somehow talking about some sex-relating issue that I think is suitable for her age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just basically, like, for example, you know, everything that you have mentioned, using proper words and, you know, stuff like that for her body parts and things like that. Since she was very, very young, she's totally aware that, like, girls have vaginas and men, you know, guys have, men have penis and stuff like that. And she's also very aware that the idea of having babies, because interesting enough is that because we have hamsters at home. And we mate the hamster, and the hamster have babies. So she actually feel very comfortable about talking now. She don't use the word having sex because actually that's the thing. I never I never feel comfortable, and I don't really know when is the right time to actually use that word. Like, she know the concept, so for
but she doesn't
her,
know
it's
what
like,
it's called.
Yeah, for her, it's like, okay, animal, we call it mating, you know.
Okay.
So she see the animal mate and then have babies. And
okay.
For her, it's a very natural thing. And she knows that, you know, basically her coming out from, you know, me and daddy got married. And, I mean, I didn't, obviously, I didn't really go into very detail about, you know, so-called how we have sex and stuff like that with,
right. And,
with
and
her.
Right, and you shouldn't. No kid wants to know about that.
So is your,
right.
your main question whether or not, so tell
yeah,
us.
Yeah, because of the environment that we have raised her in, you know, it's like we talk about having babies and the men's and women's and stuff like that, and she know that.
Oh, Ruth, I'm going to interrupt
ahead,
you because I think
answer.
I can answer your question because
right.
I think I know where you're headed. So
yeah.
what you want to know is how do you tell her this? And
yes.
So I'm going to give you a couple of tips. So first of all, I just want to tell you, it's going to be really easy for her to hear this from you because you've
uh-huh.
been so open. So
right.
number one, you've laid great, great groundwork for her. She knows all the names. She's seen the hamsters have babies. She gets the mating and all of that. So
right.
two things. One, I would get her a book, and I do recommend that It's So Amazing book, and you can find that on my website. It's Birds and Bees and Kids on my books page.
Okay.
So you can find that there, and so you can look at it and make sure it works for you and your family, and there are other great books too. And then
okay.
if you're not into that and you just want to talk to her, all you need to do is you need to say to her, hey, you're old enough now, and I just wanted to let you know that the way people have babies is very similar to the way hamsters have babies. And it takes the man and the woman, the male and the female, the man and the woman, and what happens is, and you can just explain very simply that the man, they agree to do this, and it's not for kids. The man's penis goes in the woman's vagina, and he has sperm and egg, and you can just talk briefly about that. And that's how a baby started. And you can say this is called sexual intercourse. Some people call it sex. You might have heard those words before because chances are good she has. And then you can also say it's also called making love.
Right.
And then you talk about your value. You say, this is for something your dad and I believe is part of a married relationship, if that's
right.
what you believe. If you don't believe that, don't say that because it's lying and you do not want to lie to your kid.
Okay.
So you can
okay.
say, your dad and I believe this is a part of, ideally it's part of a loving, committed relationship. Your body
right.
feels, you have feelings in your body when your body changes that you want to do this. It's not something that kids really ever want to do. It's something
right.
for later in life.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Like should I basically use a chance to talk to her about that, or maybe wait till there's such a, you know, like I just not sure, like, if
here's
ready.
Here's my rule of thumb. It's really mm-hmm. up for you. You're thinking
okay.
about it a lot. So it's time.
Right.
That's fine. That's plenty.
Okay.
And you can just say, hey, I've been thinking about this.
Right.
And I just wanted to tell you, you're old enough now to know. And that, you're old
okay.
enough now to know, for those of you who haven't started the conversations with your kids or there's something you want to talk to them about, it makes it super easy. Because if
okay.
you're thinking, I blew it, you didn't blow it. You just happen to know that they're old enough now, right? Hey, they're 17. They're old
right,
enough
right,
now,
right.
right?
Okay, okay.
Does that make sense? That's a great question,
yeah.
Ruth, and you're going to be just fine. And the other thing I'd recommend is that you practice saying all that out loud before you talk to her.
All right.
Okay? Practice is not cheating. Practice is not
okay.
cheating. Find your own words. When you're driving
okay.
down the road in the car by yourself, just talk to yourself about sex.
Okay.
That's a good suggestion.
Right,
thank you for
you.
Your question, Ruth.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Question.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And thank you. If Chris will let us know, our producer will let us know if there are any other questions. And I know we have a lot of topics to cover. I've got a lot of questions for Amy. I know a lot of other people have questions for Amy. And actually, if I can give a couple suggestions, if there's background noise, if you can, when you're calling in, if you can turn down your speakers and maybe make sure you're in a quiet space, because we do record this and we do want to hear your question. And if you can also get right to your question, I have a feeling that Amy has probably heard just about everything, every story, and every question several, if not a gazillion times. So if you can jump right to the question, we can get through even more today. So let me get back to Amy. I think that Ruth's question kind of brings up one of our first challenges in talking to kids about sex, which is us getting over. Now, she's not awkward or uncomfortable.
Right.
I think her issue is more a matter of timing. But for a lot of parents, it is a really awkward, uncomfortable kind of conversation. What do you suggest for parents to kind of get over that uncomfortableness?
Well, this is really one of the reasons why I wrote the Birds and Bees in Your Kids Guide, because the easiest way to get over feeling uncomfortable about talking about sex with your kids is if you take the time to figure out what are your values about sexuality. What do you really think and believe about all the different issues related to sex? And when you're able to really dig into that and take some time to, you know, I have these exercises and things that you go through that help you sort out, like, when do you think a person is ready for sex? You know, my joke is that it's at age 32, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not really true. But what's in place at age 32? What's happening for people when they're mature and are mature enough and ready to handle a sexual relationship? What do you think about using birth control? What would you do if your child became pregnant? How do you want your kids to grow up? What do you want them to think and feel about being a sexual person?
Mm-hmm.
So when we take a moment and look, I mean, it really begins with ourselves. And honestly, it is that airplane dealio where you put the oxygen mask on yourself before you stick it on your kid. So you can, if you know what you believe and you know what you think and you've taken some time, like I wasn't kidding about her driving along and talking
mm-hmm.
about how she, and scripting. Because that's what helps us. So when you have that information, you feel empowered and confident. And when you go through my guide, it just takes like 2 or 3 hours, and it's fun and it's interesting, and you'll learn something about yourself. So then you're all set. You have this foundational bit of information that helps you to then step into the conversation with your kids. Because knowledge really is power. It's powerful for you, and it's powerful for your kids.
Good. Good suggestion. Now, let me move into asking you some of the common questions that parents have asked.
Yeah.
How about, a lot of parents wonder, is it okay to be naked in front of my kids?
And the answer to that is yes. It's your family. It's your choice. So in Northern Europe, families are naked together from birth until death, and frankly, those countries do way better than we do when it comes to all kinds of things related to sexuality. So they have lower teen pregnancy rates, they have lower STD rates, they're much more open and confident and comfortable with their bodies and with sexuality in general. So if you're a naked family, totally fine. Same opposite sex parents naked in front of their kids, totally fine. But if your child does anything that makes you think, oh, they're uncomfortable, then you pay attention to your kid and put your clothes on. So if you're a man and your daughter walks in on you and sees you naked and turns around and hightails it out of there, okay, what'd you learn? She's uncomfortable with you being naked in front of her, so put your clothes on. If your son is, you know, you walk out of the shower and your 15-year-old son goes, my God, woman, put your clothes on, then you know it's time to put your clothes on.
Okay.
And if you're uncomfortable in front of your kid, put your clothes on. It doesn't matter. It really, honestly, with this, it just does not matter. Clothes on. If you're a family that is not a naked family, then make sure, and for both actually, make sure your kids have opportunities to see non-sexualized images of adult naked bodies. So we've got wonderful artwork. The Robie Harris book has a great page that's all, you know, naked bodies through the ages. There are lots of places where kids can see this stuff because they're really, really interested in bodies and they're very curious about it. So we want this to not be mysterious.
Yes, and provide them with appropriate and acceptable resources that we're choosing rather than just having them log onto the internet
right.
and go start exploring for naked bodies.
Yeah, not a good way to go.
Yeah.
Not a good way
so
to go.
Really all you're saying is to carry forward that personal body space and giving permission not only for touching, but to be speaking up and to be respecting what other people are comfortable
mm-hmm.
with in terms of viewing and being exposed to and being around each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, it's like it sends a really strong message of respect, too.
Yeah.
If you even say, I mean, you might even just check in with your older kids. And like if your kids are 9, 10, 11, just say, hey, are you comfortable with me being naked? And they'll be like, what? Yeah, what? right? Or they'll be like, yeah, no, actually, you're kind of freaking me out. So
yeah.
There you go.
Good. So just ask outright.
Ask outright. And again, they might not say, so just trust your instinct. If you get that sense, just put your clothes on.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't worry about it is the bottom line.
Okay, good. Now, that's inside the home. Let's talk a little bit about outside the home. And
mm-hmm.
What a lot of parents wonder is, okay, so what's really up with little kids masturbating? And both inside home, in their bedroom, out in front of the family, and
right.
then out in public.
Right.
Give parents some feedback on what the heck's going on and what they should do.
Okay, so I like to call that self-stimulation. So little kids who are like 5 or 6 and under, they are self-stimulating. So they've figured out it feels good to touch their penis or their clitoris, and they don't know that there's a problem with that because, heck, it feels good, so I'm bored at the Safeway, so I'm just going to stick my hand down my pants.
Mm-hmm.
They're self-soothing. It's comforting to them. It's a way to relax. And it's not, it's just because the way they're wired up, they don't know to be embarrassed or ashamed. And isn't that beautiful in a lot of ways?
Mm-hmm.
So the message, however, it's not appropriate in our culture to be doing that. And so what you can say to your kids is, you know, in the moment, just say, oh, hey, I noticed you're touching your penis, so I'm just going to, you know, I feel uncomfortable when you do that, and other people feel uncomfortable when you do that in front of them because your privates are private. So you can do that in your bedroom or your bathroom, or the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do it in the moment, later on in the day, say, hey, I know sometimes you like to touch your vulva or your clitoris or just whatever you want to say, or your bottom or whatever you're going to say. I know that feels good, but that's something you need to do in private, which means alone. You need to say in private alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that we get confused about is that we see that and we automatically go to, oh, my God, they're masturbating, right? That grown-up word,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not. That little guy's not thinking about Hannah Montana. That little girl's not thinking, ooh, one of those Jonas Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Just, there's no sexual thought going on with them. So if you're a family that doesn't think that's okay, then you can just say, that's not okay to do. Let's find something else to do. And have them wash their hands or just redirect them. And by 6, children should know that hands down the pants is not something we do in public.
Okay.
But it's developmental and natural and healthy behavior. So don't freak out that your child's been sexually abused or something, because unless
yeah.
they're doing it to excess, it's not a concern.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes parents will kind of jump to get a little bit worried when they
yeah.
see sexualized kind of behavior.
Yeah,
from their
and that's
children.
Not that's actually not sexualized. That's
yeah.
just sexual behavior. Yeah.
yeah,
sexualized means adult-like.
Okay, and so let's, because you told us some things we can do to keep our kids safe from sexual abuse in terms of body touch and personal body
mm-hmm.
privacy, if you can maybe expand on what you just said there in terms of, so let's say we've had those conversations, are there any things that we should be looking for in terms of, you just made a clear distinction there between something that's very normal and something that might be a warning sign.
Yeah.
Maybe just give us a quick list of some things that would be red flags to look for.
So I'm going to give you actually a list that's actually more helpful than red flags.
Okay.
So this is a list of 5 things that parents should look for when their kids are engaging in sexual behavior, alone or with other kids. And it's pretty general, and I don't like to talk about warning signs because I don't think that's helpful. I think it's more helpful to know what's common in terms of children's sexual behavior. And I'm actually happy to come on and do another show with you and talk about this in more detail because it's really interesting and super helpful to parents.
Yeah, it's a whole other conversation.
It's an entire, but I'll just give you my quick rundown. So what we're looking for, natural and healthy sexual behavior in kids is spontaneous. It happens spontaneously out of play. It's mutual. The kids agree to play that way. There's no threats, coercion, violence, nothing like that. It's just mutual. And it's good-humored. It's fun. They're having fun. They're silly. They might be a little bit kind of, you know, private about it and kind of giggly and maybe feel a little embarrassed, but it's really it's positive, right? Spontaneous, mutual, good-humored.
Okay.
So those are the first 3 words. The other things are, if the play times to worry are if the play is adult-like. So that means in some way it looks adult-like. It looks like adult sex. So an example of that would be a little girl who was at a preschool and she'd lay down on her back and spread her legs and invite boys to lay down on top of her.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's adult-like. 4-year-olds, where are they getting that, right? Then the other piece is your intuition, your adult concern. So if there's you walk in the room and here are 2 little guys and one's circumcised, one's not, and they're touching each other's penises, you're going to freak out. You're not allowed to. You can freak out internally, but externally you need to stay calm. And then bust up the behavior, redirect them, wash hands, have a conversation about body safety later. And then you're going to look. Was that adult-like? Not really. What's my adult concern? When you step away from a situation, your adult concern will come back down to some kind of lower level if it's natural and healthy. If it was something was wrong, it's up high.
Mm-hmm.
It's up high.
Okay.
And so, again, we're looking for that spontaneous mutual good humor. Did they seem like they were having fun? They were both doing this. You know, so it's this really quick rundown. But the big things to – so if you look for those five things, but adult-like behavior is a huge indicator. And repeat, recurring, like, oh, my God, here we go again. This kid comes over to my house, and every time he comes over, the kids are playing doctor.
Okay.
So we want to look – recurrence is another piece.
Good, good.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of behavior –
taking notes.
Yeah, when there's a bunch of behavior that's really common in terms of kids' sexuality. Like little kids, all that poop talk, that's common. Body questions, the self-stimulation in public and private, that's all really common.
Mm-hmm.
For older kids, things like role-playing games, and they might do some experimental kissing or touching. They, they might do some exhibitionism, like some flashing, that kind of thing. So that'd be like 9 to 12-year-olds who aren't in puberty. Kids who've started puberty, they're more interested in sex because they have sex hormones coursing through their veins. So they might have, they might try oral sex. They might have, they might be really holding hands and doing some actual sort of more like fooling around kind of stuff, more sexual behaviors. And then adolescence, you know, everything goes. So there's common behaviors, and we don't have to be comfortable with them. We just need to be informed.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Right?
Excellent suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
So.
Well, gosh, time's flying. We're already at 40 after. And so let's take a break. I do want to give people a chance to hear about some of the resources and tell them how to get the resources that you've been sharing with us. So let me just say real quick, remind people again how they can ask questions. Cut down background noise, get right to the questions so we can crank through as many as we can on the call. Today, we're at Parents Tool Talk. I'm your host, Jody Johnston-Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. We have Amy Lang talking with us today on the subject of talking to kids about sex. If you want to call in a question, you can call 1-347-205-9654. That's 1-347-205-9654. And then hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand if you've got a question. Or you can send in a question using the chat room at parentstooltalk.com. Now, I'm going to check the switchboard for callers, and while my producer gives us some important information about the featured resources this month from both Amy and myself. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I am, Jody.
Good. Thank you.
Sure. I'll be taking over and let you guys both have a little bit of a break. First off, I'd like to say just a Happy New Year to all of our listeners. I am going to run over this month's resources fairly quickly so that Jody and Amy can get back to their conversation today on talking to the kids about sex. But before we talk about that, I just want to let our listeners know that starting this month, we will be doing a live question and answer show that will be once a month. And these shows will be wide open, any question, any topic on parenting or parenting education. And it's a great chance for our listeners to draw on Jody's years of knowledge and experience in these fields. And this show is a little experimental. Our shows thus far have been built on a theme, much like today's show is obviously built on a theme. But we do want to try this new open format as a chance for anyone to call in with any question on any parenting topic. So our first open Q&A show will air live on Tuesday evening, Tuesday, January 19th, 2010. That's January 19th at 9 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time. And obviously, we would love for people to call in live, and that's one reason we're doing it later in the evening. But if you don't think you can make it, then please send us your questions in advance by email, by emailing us at questions@parentstooltalk.com. That's questions@parentstooltalk, all one word, .com. Now, I'm going to start off with our resources by mentioning two major resources available through Amy's organization, Birds and Bees and Kids. The first is Amy's book entitled Birds and Bees and Your Kids, A Guide to Sharing Your Beliefs About Sexuality, Love, and Relationships. This book is the place to start when you know you need to talk to your kids about sex, but you don't know where to start. The book retails for $14.95, and you can download a free sample chapter from the book. And this chapter is titled Teens and Sex, What Do You Believe? Plus, the link to download that free chapter and purchase the book is available at our website, www.parentstooltalk.com/links. Also available is the Ask Anything Journal. And I really like this resource because this is a way for your kids to find out anything they want to know, not only about sex, but life, love, bodies, relationships, drugs, friendships, spirituality, death, anything in between, to avoid embarrassing face-to-face conversations. They write down their question in the journal, hand it off to you, and you write a response. So I'd definitely like to encourage our listeners to check out both of those resources. Also, Amy is offering as a free gift to Parents Tool Talk listeners a one-page handout with tips for talking to young people about sexuality and a list from the American Academy of Pediatrics of what kids should know before they get into middle school. And this resource is also available for download at parentstooltalk.com/links. Also, Amy would like to let our listeners know that she is available for telephone consultation, and anyone interested can call or email her to schedule. And actually, Amy, if you're still on the line, I don't have your phone number right in front of me right now. Can you tell everyone what the number would be to call?
Yeah, sure. It's 206-661-2245. And my email is amy@birdsandbeesandkids.com.
Okay. And just to let everybody know, we do have that information also on our parentstooltalk.com/links page. So you can get the number, and there's a link to email Amy there. Okay, now just a quick note about resources this month from our host, Jody Powell. Jody has a handout from her workshop on talking to kids about sexual issues. This is a very handy one-page handout with dozens of bullet item tips on how to discuss puberty, sex and reproduction, masturbation, mutual exploration, and sexual abuse. She also has an article on her website entitled Toddlers Do the Most Embarrassing Things that addresses three things toddlers sometimes do in public that have a high potential for embarrassment, and that is thumb sucking, nose picking, and the hands down the diaper. This article also answers questions of why toddlers do these things, offers tips for best responses to these actions, and also what to avoid when you're responding. And both of these resources from Jody are available free of charge to our listeners. And one last time, you can find direct links to every resource mentioned in today's show by going to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. And now, Jody, I will hand things back over to you and Amy, our guest.
Great. Thank you very much. And if you would, check the chat room. Let me know if we have any questions there. Did want to mention that Amy had mentioned this Harvard study, and that just came out, and so we're actually going to be adding that also to the resources. She is sending us a link to that. So anyone else interested in reading that fascinating and very informative study, we'll be giving you that. And Amy, could you spell your website? Because with the word and in there, I don't know if it's spelled out or if there's a symbol.
Yeah, it is spelled out. So it's birds, A-N-D, bees, A-N-D, kids.
Kids.com.
And if you just Google birds and bees, I'm like number three. So
good.
You can find me that way too.
Great. Excellent. All right. Let's head back into our questions because we still have a ton of them. Let me know, one of the things that parents aren't quite sure about is, and this may come up whether kids have questions or whether or not parents are volunteering information, but do parents have to talk about their sexual history?
Oh, no. I mean, that's the sort of short answer is no. You aren't required to talk about your own sexual history with your kids. But some parents do, so it's really a personal choice. Just remember this. Did you want to know about your parents' sexual history, about their sex lives? No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, right? So you can talk about lessons learned. That's a pretty simple place to go. You can say, you know, when I look back on my life, I wish that I had waited until I was, you know, out of high school before I had sex, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some there are kind of different schools of thought about this. Like some people have said that if you tell your kid you had sex in high school, then your kid's going to think, well, then my mom had sex in high school, so she turned out fine, so I guess I can have sex in high school. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I mean, kids are going to do what kids are going to do. The average age of sexual debut is 16. We really can't control them. So, you know, back to that question about do you talk about your sexual history? You can or you can't. You know, it's up to you. But you just need to decide what feels right to you. So
mm-hmm.
I have a non-answer. Sorry.
Right. Well, no, but not really. And I think some things may be obvious. I mean, if a parent, you know, if a child knows that they had children out of wedlock, well, it's obvious that they, you know, had sex before marriage. And if parents
right.
are saying that children should wait, it could appear hypocritical. But I think
right.
the key phrase that you said is lessons learned.
Yeah, lessons learned. Definitely
yeah.
lessons learned or safe ground. And oftentimes when a kid says, well, how old were you when you had sex for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
The real question is, when is it okay for me to have sex? So you can ask them, don't answer the question, and you can just say, how old do you think a person should be when they have sex for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
And just turn it right back around to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they push, you know, again, this is time for a script. What's your answer going to be?
Any suggestions? That was going to be my next question. What if they push?
Then you can say, you know, I just feel really weird talking to you about my sexual past. I mean, do you really want to know about my sex life?
Yeah.
You could say that, and then they'll be like, egads, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing you could say, well, you know, I had a friend who had sex when she was 13. That friend might be you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, I remember thinking, oh, my God, you're insane, right? Or, you know, using that now, right? As you're talking to your 13-year-old. So you can say, I had sex when I was 18. And you know what? I wouldn't do it again if I had to do over again. Here's why. Here's what was missing.
Mm-hmm. So there's no right or wrong answers. It's really
no.
I
mean,
the parents don't have to feel obligated to
no.
answer
mm-mm.
those questions.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. Now, what if, so let's kind of talk about two extremes in terms of talking to kids about sex. Two extremes. On the one hand, you've got your child who would never, ever, ever ask a question about sex. And even if the parent brings it up, you know, they're doing what you suggested. They try to bring up the conversation. Kids clam up, close, you know, put their hands
yep.
over their ears and, no, I don't want to hear this and don't want to talk about it. What do you suggest for parents if that's the reaction that they get?
I just talked to a mom about this last night, and she's got a 13-year-old who's doing exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have another kid in the house who's younger or older and is more open, then you have as many conversations as you possibly can with that other kid in front of the kid who doesn't want to hear it.
Okay.
Tell the child, I know you don't want to know this. I know you're uncomfortable. I understand that, but it is important for your health and safety that you have this information. So I'm going to take 2 minutes of your time to give you this little bit of information, and here you go. I love you. Suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean that lovingly, right? So just be bold about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure they have opportunities to learn. Make sure they have books. This woman said her son won't crack a book.
Uh-huh.
So, but make sure the books are available. Eventually, something's going to happen to his body, and he's going to be like, oh, my God,
right?
What's going on here? And he'll want a resource, and he probably won't talk to you. Have something like the Ask Anything Journal where they can write questions, and you initiate the question.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, what do you think about, do you know anybody who's having sex?
Mm-hmm.
And see what they say.
Yeah.
You know, or ask about, you know, do you have any questions about women's body, a girl's bodies, like periods and that kind of stuff, if you're talking
mm-hmm.
to your son.
Yeah.
You know, eventually they'll get the information, and your job is to do your best. And then if your kid's refusing, your kid's refusing. But my belief is that there's no kid on the planet who won't eventually crack a book that talks about sex.
Especially if you just leave it in their room.
Right.
Because
so
I think the big issue for a lot of kids is their privacy.
Yeah, they can do it in private.
Yeah, and I know my son was on the far end of privacy. So, you know, not pushing things, but making it available and,
mm-hmm.
and certainly having the book in the room and that kind of thing is helpful. So let's talk about the other extreme, because those are the kids who don't want to talk about it at
right.
all. What about the kids that not only are they, you know, asking us a gazillion questions, but then they're going to go out and tell the whole neighborhood about everything
yeah.
that you said?
The town crier. I call that person the town crier. So here's the deal. The bottom line is it's your kid. What's more important? Them making great informed decisions and having wonderful open communication with you, or you hearing back from a teacher, a parent, that, oh, my God, your kid told my kid what sex is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't worry about the neighbors. tell your kid, this is a private conversation we have in our family. Other moms and dads want to talk to their kids about this because everybody has different values and beliefs, and this is really kind of a private thing. If you have questions, you want to talk about it, talk to me, talk to your safe adults, you know, talk to Auntie so-and-so, talk to whoever, like give them options of people to talk to. You're standing in your integrity. Your kid goes out and informs the entire first grade, and you're in this moment of like, oh, God, what am I going to do? And you feel embarrassed, but the most important relationship is your relationship with the child. So you can tolerate 15 minutes of discomfort for a lifetime of open communication with your kids. And that's, I hope that if that's keeping people from talking, like what will the neighbors think is what's keeping people from talking to their kids, then you really just need to just give that up. It's an excuse, and it's not a good one.
Mm-hmm. Good. And that really helps us focus on the top priority.
Right.
We're down to like the last 5 minutes or 4 minutes, and we've got a little bit of wrap up. Let me do this. Let me do our final announcements, and let me come back to you. And if we have time for any, I want you to think, is there anything we didn't get to? I think we got to a lot, but maybe not just as in-depth. So I want you to just think for the next minute or so if there's anything that you want to make sure that we get out there before we end the show. Let me do a quick recap for everybody. Our guest today has been Amy Lang, and we have been talking to kids about sex. And, Amy, all of your insights and practical advice was so helpful. This is one show that I would love to have a transcript of, because I love the fact that you gave so much practical information and actually exactly what to say, because I think that will be real helpful for parents. A couple quick announcements as we're wrapping up. Foster parents, remember to check out from the call for your continuing education hours by either sending a chat message or staying on the line until you hear a recording that the show has stopped recording. And that way we can record your number, and we know that you are there. Then you need to send your reminder email to questions@parentstooltalk.com, and our producer will verify your phone number, tell us your phone number, and he'll verify that you were on the call, and then that verifies your attendance. Reminder to everyone that you can order this month's featured resources by going to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. You can also go there to sign up for our mailing list so you can get access to the post-show bonus resources for this month and every month to follow. That link again is www.parentstooltalk.com/links. And you can subscribe to Parents Tool Talk through iTunes by going to parentstooltalk.com/links and clicking on the subscribe link, or going to the iTunes store and typing in Parents Tool Talk into the search window. And last but not least, please remember to check out Amy's website. That's www.birdsandbeesandkids.com. And you can either go there directly or you can come to our links page, and we will send you off there also. So it looks like we've got maybe just one extra minute before the music starts to play. Amy, thank you for joining us. Really appreciated everything that you shared. You can add any final comments or additional tips that you want until you hear the music start.
Okay, so first of all, don't worry about telling your kids about intercourse and body changes and how babies are made and your values about sexuality, about birth control, STDs, and all that stuff. Don't worry about ruining their innocence. That information coming from you, their loving, informed, competent, empowered parent, is actually going to go much further for them in terms of having healthy sexuality and a healthy relationship with someone down the road. So don't worry about loss of innocence. The times that kids lose innocence is when they learn about sex abuse, rape, pornography, and prostitution, the sort of harder pieces about sexuality. But coming from you as a loving parent, you're not gonna ruin their innocence, and you're actually gonna do them a favor. And this is hard. It's hard for me. I have to gear up to talk to my own son, so don't think that I'm all little Miss Chitty Chatty with my boy. I have to think about it. I have to get ready to talk to him. And so it's hard for everyone, but once you start that initial conversation and you just have this quick 1 minute, 2 minute conversation and then stop, you'll see that it's easy. And it's much easier than you think. We make a way bigger deal out of this than it actually needs to be. So short and sweet conversations should be your goal. And then one other thing for foster parents, I'm actually going to be presenting at the National Foster Parent Association meeting conference in Baltimore in over Memorial Day weekend. So you can come hang out with me more there. And I think that's about it.
Good. And I think we're down to just seconds before that music kicks in.
Thanks.
There you go. Oh, Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to everyone who is listening for joining us on Parents Tool Talk. I'm Jody Johnson-Powell. You can learn more about Parents Tool Shop at parentstoolshop.com. Now, next month, my guest expert will be Karen Sherman, and we're going to talk about empty nesters. But remember, I'm going to have a special wide open call-in talk show Tuesday, January 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, same number, same links, and we will send out reminders to our list. So until everybody have a great weekend, have a great month, take care, and look forward to talking to you next time.